speaker, Butch A. from D.C.
Up here, my name is Butch-O-Matic. I know it's God's grace and mercy that I'm here, and I let you know it took me 23 years and two treatment centers to get here. And I say that to keep myself reminded. You know, it's a good day to be clean. I want to thank the Central Maryland area for hosting this committee and asking me to come here and share my experience, strip, and hope on this topic of how we make peace with our past. Also want to thank Jerry for her powerful message. Thank you. And you know, first of all, I want to say I got some NAT, and I put them in to impress y'all, but they was killing me. So I said, well, am I going to stand here and impress y'all or just show y'all the real me? So I'm going to show y'all the real me, you know. I feel a little better now that I took them out, you know. But when they told me about the pack, this topic, and it's amazing when they, you know, they told me about a month ago, and I'm sitting here, and I try not to think about what I'm going to share. And it seems like every time I go to bed, you know, before I go to sleep, I'm sitting there, what I'm going to talk about, what I, how I'm going to share this, and I pick up the book, and I read, and, you know, I said, man. Why don't you just share your story, man? Keep it simple, man. You know, because, you know, my past, trust me, it wasn't pretty at the beginning. You know, first of all, I was born the only male in my household, but full of women. That's a resentment right there. You know, because I was the black sheep in the household. And even out in the street, everybody knew I was the only boy, you know, and I was their big brother. But they really don't know I was afraid of a lot of things. They were my protectors, you know, even though when they saw me coming, they knew I was there, they felt that they were safe. But see, the thing was, is I was a scared little boy. I was afraid of a lot of things, you know. And this was before my sister came along. And if a lot of people know my sister, then my sister was a tomboy. She was tough. I mean, my sister was real tough. And everywhere I go, she wants to go, and I didn't want her to go with me. But Mama always tell me, take her with you, you know. And it seemed like my sister was a troublemaker. She didn't mind fighting. You know, for me, I didn't like to fight. You know, didn't say I couldn't fight. I just didn't like to fight. You know, and then when I tried to talk my way out of it, I was forced to put my hands up. And then when I found out how good I was, you know, then I walked around with this false pride with my chest up like I was bad. You know. But that was just a fake, because I was still afraid, you know. And a lot of times I used to be home all by myself wondering, you know, what's going on with my life. You know, I didn't have or feel any love in my family because, like I said, I felt like the black sheep. You know, the girls got everything they wanted. I had to struggle for mine. I had to beg, steal, and borrow. Go out there and hustle and pull capers, even being young, just to get a pair of decks or Chuck Taylors or a Peter's jacket. Half the time I went to them clotheslines and stole them. Y'all remember the clothesline? They ain't had wash machines and dryers back then. They was hanging them out in the backyard, you know, and I used to go in the backyard and steal them so I can look part of. Because I couldn't get my parents to buy them for me. You know, I'm talking about a person who had low self-esteem at a very young age. And I was very confused. I didn't know what was going on in life. You know, I was a get-with, nick-with. You know, I get around the crowd so I could feel a part of, but I was really alone. You know, when in school, when they ask you what you want to be when you grow up, And that was one of the paths that I have a problem with, because back then I did not know. And it wasn't until I came into recovery, 10 years in recovery, that I figured out something that I wanted to do. Even growing up, I did not know what I wanted to do with my life. I was a jack of all trades and a master of none. I had plenty of jobs, post office, agriculture. You know, I was an artist. All those things were just temporary. It felt good at the time. I get praise and all that, but that's not what I want. You know, so I was really confused and wasn't sure which direction I wanted to go. You know, and then I got introduced to getting high. Man, that was the place I knew I wanted to be. Because I didn't have to worry about anything outside. You see what I'm saying? I created my own world. It was just me, myself, and I. You come in if I allow you to come in. You know, but I was okay all by myself. You know, and that was my downfall. Because the friends, they say they were my friends, I didn't feel no friendship. It seemed like only time they was friends when I had something. You know, it's amazing when you have all this and then when it's all gone, then everybody all of a sudden disappeared. You know, so where everybody go? You know, but you don't have anything. You don't have nothing to give, so they ain't had nothing to give you. And that's the way I felt for a long, long time. You know, my feelings among people was basically a distance. You know, even though I wanted to be part of, but it was something that I was afraid of. And guess what? I didn't know what it was. And you talk about my past. You know, my life, you know, people say their life was an open book. I didn't even have a book. I didn't even have a title. I don't even know what it was. You know. And when I got introduced to the drugs, you know, I was in a world all by myself. I felt comfortable just being by myself. I didn't really need anybody around me to get high. I felt all right then. And then a moment of clarity, the day I learned that word when I came in recovery, clarity. I didn't know that out there, but something happened and I kept hearing this voice. You know, what do you want to do with your life, Butch? Do you really want to do this? You know, and I'm trying to figure out who the hell is that talking. Because I don't know what's going on. I'm ignoring it. You know, well, let's do something. So I joined the military. And the only reason I joined that, it was basically on a force issue. Because my uncle told me that I couldn't pass the test in the U.S. Army, which I refused to go into. And I walked down the hall and signed in for the United States Marine Corps. You know? And when I got in there, and I said, oh shit, what did I just do? I didn't want to go in the military. I did that to show him that I could. You know, and then when I realized that I was getting on the bus in Baltimore to go down Paris Island, I said, oh, hell, let me get out of here. You know, and I was trying, trust me, I tried to get out of there. And they wouldn't let me go anywhere until they took me to the psych ward. They took me to the psych ward. Because something happened, you know, I end up with they call a uresis problem. Now, I don't know if y'all know what that is. Bedwetting. They said it was a psychological thing because I lived in this box for so long, and when I got outside that box, I was not comfortable with me. So I was nervous. They said it was a psychological problem that I was afraid to be away from home. That's why I ended up pissing in bed all the time. You know? So that was my way out. And they said, well, you got 6 months to get yourself together and you can re-up. And they sent me to Walter Reed, to the psychologist. And I went there one time. And I said, man, I'm not going back in there. I don't want no more parts of it. You know? And then I got back into the streets of drugs again. And my life went to a down spiral. My attitude changed. The life that I was living was animalistic. I started stealing, lying, cheating, doing everything I could to harm people to get that next hit. And I did something that I never forget in my life. There's one incident I was getting high. And I'm talking about the past of guilt and remorse that even recently I started getting over it. That my grandmother interrupted my using for me to take her to the bank. I got in my car and I took her to the bank and she said something. I was arguing, I was pissed off, and it went into blackout rage. And I got out the car and I slammed the car door and splattered glass all over and put her in an emotional shock. I literally helped her out the car, everybody looking at me. I'm pissed off, telling them, mind your damn business. Left her standing right there so I could go back and finish doing what I was doing. And when I walked down the basement step, it was like Mike Tyson hit me with a right cross. I realized what I did. I bit the hand that fed me all my life. Then all of a sudden I started hearing this sound. And I thought I was geeking. It was a radio. It was the police radio. They were upstairs talking. And they asked my grandmother 3 questions. And the first one they asked him, was I on medication? I guess because of the way I was acting on the street. And she said, I don't think so. And the second question is he on drugs or alcohol? She said, I believe he is. And the third question is, do you want him out of here? And I ran up the steps to stare my grandmother in her face, thinking I could shake her up. And she looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, I want him out of here. And I went off. And they threw me out the back door. Ladies and gentlemen, I never felt this way in my life. When that door closed, it was like I was in a dark box. It was black. My mind was empty, with no thoughts. I didn't know what was going on. But here's the kicker. It only lasted 60 seconds. Now I'm telling you about the addiction, this disease, how it tricked me, how it set me up, how it make me think that all is well or it's going to get better. Just to put me in a space where it can grab me back and do what it tells me to do. And I'm already feeling guilty of what I've done. But now the disease tells me, don't worry about it. We got something for you. So I go get high. Now I'm stuffing all that. See, that's not an issue right now. The issue is where I'm going to get that next hit. So when I go up from 4th and Royal Avenue to the Irish City to get high, they wouldn't give me none. Now I'm really pissed. But that's a hell of a walk, y'all. So when I got over there and they wouldn't give me none, I said, well, I show y'all. Now I'm angry. I'm going to do something. So I walk from Marvin City to 14th and U. And when I got up there, somebody told me that I can go to 71 Old Street and get some food stamps. Now, the reason I'm sharing this, because this was the part of my story that I had to deal with in my fourth step. It's not the, really the event of doing the walking and going to get the food stamps. It's the feelings that I was going through when I was going through them journeys. The guilt, the remorse, then that moment of clarity. Do you want some help? No, that's all right. What you going to do with your life? I'm angry. I'm confused. I'm in the blame game. Then when I get to 71 Old Street and they asked me, was there anything else after I filled out that form? It was a pause. And she asked me again. And that's when I confessed that I had a problem and I wanted some help. And my journey didn't start right there, though. It was more stuff. Because they gave me a demand. They told me I had to stay clean 5 days before they can help me. You know, and now I'm in desperation mode. You know, because I really don't want to use anymore. I'm tired of feeling the way I was feeling. I had to go back to my grandmother's house and beg and plead to let me in. You know how pride that is? Going back to somebody you hurt? To beg them to let you back in? Because I really hurt her. For the grace of God, she said, I'm going to let you in this time. And 4 days later, I used again. And that wasn't my intention. Because I didn't know what to do. It was times I didn't want to use. I put signs on my door, do not disturb, and I get this. And the committee says it's free. And I end up using it. I saw an 800 number on the TV to say, call this and you get some help. And I dialed and they put me on the hold. It was too long. I'm telling you how powerful this disease is. It ain't gonna wait. So I went back on 71 Old Street. I mustered some energy because I did not want to use it. Grandma was looking at me, didn't want to let me back in the house again. And I went back around and told that lady what I did. And she walked around from her desk and gave me a hug. And said, try it again. September the 5th, 1992, and I haven't used since, you know. But it was a struggle. I didn't know the work had to start right then and there, not when I decided to get into step. Well, it had to start right then. That means I had to surrender. I had to not want to use. I had to do whatever it took to stay away from that first one. And it wasn't easy. Not where I lived. So I had to go down there every day and stay all day long till I was good and tired. And then I had to find a buddy because Grandma already gave up. She wasn't letting me back in. But it was a friend who knew what I was trying to do and allowed me to stay there for them 5 days. And that's when I went into treatment. And when I got up there, and they told me some things that I needed to do, you know, and I ended up sitting with self. Then I started contemplating, and then here's all the feelings start hitting me off the wall. The guilt, remorse, what am I going to do? And, you know, yeah, treatment, they give you some stuff to work with on paper. But when you're in a room by yourself, can't nobody help you but God of your understanding. For me, because I put a lot of stuff on paper. When I did my fourth step, it talks about introducing me to me. Man, you talking about somebody really confused? I told you I didn't know what I wanted to be, so I didn't know who I was. I didn't find out who I was until I continued coming to Nakaz and Namas and got into service and got introduced to a sponsor who helped me stay away from a drug one day at a time. And I developed a relationship with myself by doing that. I had to go through the steps to find out who I was. The fourth step was just an introduction, but the fifth step was the key, because I was able to bring some stuff out of my mouth to get some real help. Because a lot of time, the fourth step, I admitted a lot of stuff and I didn't even know about. But it took a sponsor that knew about doing fifth step work to guide me to find the right answers that I needed to know for me. In my past, y'all, I want to keep it right where it is. And after I did the fifth step, he gave it to me and he showed me a trash can. He said, take it over there and I want you to put a fire to it. He said, that's gone. You're going to start a new life. And so when I continued my step work, my life started over again. That's where I learned about humility and forgiveness. Because when I got to learn all that, I was able to carry on with the rest of the program. Get out the blame game. Start making amends. Don't look the world in the eye with aggressiveness or fear. Be not afraid to ask for help. And most of all, man up. Stop making excuses, Butch. So you ain't know what you want to be when you was dead. What do you want to be now? I want to be better. That's my goal. Monetary stuff don't mean a hill of beans if I don't have peace within me. So making peace with my past has come to a point that I have to work on a daily basis. Because every day that I wake up and ask my higher power for a day clean, that's making peace with my past. They got one piece in here I want to read, and then I'm going to close out. You don't mind, do you? Don't laugh in my glasses, these are my wives. And I love this book. And at the end of it, said, part of the charm of many of our more experienced members is that they can seem so eccentric. One suggested that this is the consequences of no longer having defense in a way. More and more, we are comfortable just being ourselves. We appear in the world exactly as we are. That freedom is part of the promise of the third tradition, because we have only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We are given permission to be who we are. We no longer have to lie to gain acceptance. I like that part because that's what I'm trying to do today. When I found out who Butch was, you know, I'm letting you know this is who you get. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Thanks for letting me share.